So our text for this morning's meditation is from Matthew chapter 8. These words, "For I too am a man under authority, with soldiers under me." So our text, you may be seated. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, we, like the centurion in the gospel reading, are indeed people under authority. And we have, normally, all of us, people who are under our authority in one way or another. Of course, we don't like to think about it in this way too much, do we? Having the modern enlightenment mindset that in the Western world we revel in life and we revel in liberty and the pursuit of happiness with nobody telling us what to do, and we in turn telling no one what to do as well. But the reality is usually something else, isn't it? The reality forced upon us by life. Idealistic parents, for example, with young children may begin their lives as parents, giving the child in their care free rein to dictate for themselves how they will live. That is, when they will sleep and when they will eat and when they will do all sorts of different things, only to discover eventually that by doing so, by releasing their child from their authority, those young parents discover they soon have a tyrant on their hands. And they themselves have come under that tyrant's authority. We all go through it. And eventually we discover that parenting involves, well, parenting. That is authority. Actually dictating to the child what they can do, when they can do it, what they can eat, what they can wear, what they can hold, what they can put in their mouths. One of our children, for example, without fail, would always have a marble in his mouth while he was crawling around the house. He'd never swallow it. I don't know how many times we looked down realizing he was sucking on something, and sure enough, it was a marble. He'd always find one somewhere. It was good that he had parents, that he was under someone's authority to get that marble out of his mouth. Of course, we do strive throughout all of our lives to free ourselves from authority, to become as self-determining as possible in our quest for life and our quest for liberty and the pursuit of happiness. But we all eventually acquiesce to the idea that we too must remain under authority, some sort of authority. That is, that we can live with someone above us, another person with a higher office who can control us in some way. And why do we do that? Well, we realize that our lives can be lived in such a way, and we can benefit from having those in authority over us who can do all sorts of things for us that we cannot do. Whether we're in the military or work in a corporation or in a civil service job of some sort or even are self-employed. That centurion in our text, the centurion who was part of a Roman legion. Interesting guy. Roman legion was normally about 6,000 soldiers, and that legion, it was divided into 10 cohorts, and each of the cohorts had six such centurions. So that centurion, he had the command of about 100 men. But he was under the command of a military tribune, who himself was commanded by a legate, and the legate in turn was under the command of a commander. So the centurion truly was a man under authority and was an authority over those under him. Humbly then, the centurion believed that Jesus also had authority, The centurion believed that Jesus, as the maker of heaven and earth, as the creator of all things seen and unseen, the centurion believed that Jesus, who was God, had authority over life and death. So, surely could cure a simple disease. Centurion believed who Jesus was, and he believed the authority that Jesus possessed. And so all that was needed from Jesus, all that was needed by the centurion from Jesus was a word spoken, and his servant would be healed. Now Naaman in our Old Testament reading, Naaman, a commander of the army of Syria, he was a different matter, wasn't he? Suffering himself from leprosy, Naaman was sent by his king, the king of Syria, to the king of Israel, and then by the king of Israel to the prophet Elisha, and Elisha sent Naaman that word. Elisha sent Naaman that word in which the Roman centurion would believe. Go and bathe in the Jordan River 7 times, and you shall be clean. Naaman then balked, didn't he? What was this word? This instruction, this simplistic solution, bathing in the Jordan, to his very complex condition, that is, leprosy. Something more was needed, some ritual, some sort of hocus-pocus, lights and smoke, dancing here and there, maybe the shaking of this and the rattling of that. That's how Naaman was going to be healed. For Naaman was a commander of an army. He had authority. He was in the know. He knew what should be done to heal him by a God that he didn't even know. Just wash in water, that's it. That's crazy. That's not religion. That's not healing. So the question for us this morning, who are we more like? Who are we more like when it comes to Jesus? Like the Roman centurion approaching Jesus humbly in faith, believing in the authority that Jesus possessed over life and death? Or are we more like the Syrian commander Naaman, scoffing at the message sent to him, the word of the prophet Elisha? It would seem so often like we're more like the latter, aren't we? Like Naaman. For don't we in our freedom, don't we in our liberty, in our pursuit of happiness, become somewhat giddy with the authority we possess, even though we ourselves remain under all sorts of authority? Don't we in our self-absorption in the little universes that we have created for ourselves believe that just like we can command our own little worlds, we should ourselves be able to dictate the terms by which we interact with the creator of heaven and earth? And that is Jesus Christ. I mean, look at us. We are something. And being something, we should be able to determine how it is God interacts with us and on what terms we will interact with him. Believe and be baptized and be saved? We take showers every day. And what we believe about life and the universe and all that has gotten us to where we are today. Listen to the word of God, to the prophet from God. We know how the world works far better than any religious figure. So our arrogance here is palpable, isn't it? For it's true, while we don't have leprosy like Naaman, we are all dying. We are all dying. Yes, we can live now and interact with those around us and live our lives like Naaman the leper could still function in Syrian society with his leprosy. But his king, Naaman's king, realized brilliantly that if Naaman could be freed from his deadly disease, it would be better for Naaman. It would change Naaman's life. The Roman centurion, he realized the same thing about his servant lying paralyzed at home. So instead of dictating the terms to the very creator of the universe, instead of telling Jesus to come to his home and wave his hand over his servant to heal him, the Roman centurion, understanding authority, simply asked Jesus to say the word, and his servant would be forgiven. That is, his servant would be healed. Now, to do this, the Roman centurion had to humble himself before Jesus. That is, the centurion had to ask Jesus for help. But then the centurion also believed that if Jesus would help his servant, all that it would take would be his word. That's all it would take from Jesus, his word. And that's all it still takes today. The word of Jesus to us. It's all it takes. Your sins are forgiven. Your sins are forgiven. Through faith in me, your sins are forgiven. For what is sin but our leprosy? Our spiritual leprosy, in which we can still function. We can still function from day to day to day within society like Naaman, but with a spiritual disease which, when it flares up like leprosy would, it causes pain and it causes suffering and scarring, so much scarring, that is, the memories of stupidities and idiocies and wrongful doings, which when they come to mind, cause us to pull into ourselves and cover up and hide, hoping that no one can see what is truly our spiritual disfigurement. But what is the forgiveness of sins? But the forgiveness of sins. What is the forgiveness of sins but the forgiveness of sins? The washing, the regeneration, the renewing by the Holy Spirit in our baptisms, applying the sacrifice, the death, the willing suffering of the ultimate authority, the Creator of heaven and earth, our Creator, to us. His body given for us, his blood shed for us, so that the leprosy of our sin might be cleansed. And done so day after day after day after day in the simple words, your sins are forgiven. The only way, of course, that our sins can be forgiven is by the one who in fact created us, Jesus Christ, the one who has the authority to forgive sins. And it's interesting to note here that even though Jesus had such authority, he didn't use it for anything else but our benefit. Satan, of course, tried to get Jesus to do that, to flaunt his authority as the maker of heaven and earth by getting Jesus to turn stones into bread. But even there, Jesus pointed out that bread was not the issue. The issue was the Word of God. The Word of God spoken to us, that was the issue. The Word of God despised by Naaman, the leper, but welcomed by the Roman centurion. Again, where do we find ourselves this morning? We find ourselves trying to hold on to the authority we possess in our minds, the authority we've achieved in our quest for freedom and liberty and happiness, then we're like Naaman, aren't we? We're like Naaman. But even Naaman relented. Even Naaman relented finally at the entreaties of his servant, of those under him. And bathing in the Jordan River 7 times, he was healed, healed of his leprosy. Think of that. Think of that. And think then also about how much better our lives would be, how much better they could be if we could be freed from our leprosy of sin. Well, in Jesus Christ, we are. By believing as a centurion, we are. By simply holding fast to the Word, just the Word of the Creator of heaven and earth, Jesus Christ, we are. Jesus, after all, he's no respecter of persons. Jesus doesn't want our job. And Jesus doesn't want our authority. What Jesus wants is to free our hearts and our souls and our minds from the whole thought matrix of who is over whom and who is under whom, so that we can, in whatever situation we find ourselves, no matter where we are in the chain of whatever authority, we can serve joyously those around us in love. Let us pray then for the faith of the Roman centurion, simply to yearn for and believe in the word of our Savior, Jesus. For it's just because he himself has been given all power and authority in heaven and on earth that he can and does reign in our hearts and souls and minds, so that we can indeed serve one another in love by his word, his simple word. Amen. Now, may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. We rise and confess our Christian faith in the words of the Apostles.